So if you listened to the last couple episodes with my interview with Leslie Kenny from Oxford Healthspan, we talked about all the awesome things for longevity, helping the body rejuvenate its cells, its mitochondria, as well as with liver function. But now for the best part, how to reverse graying hair, which was really the reason I pulled Leslie Kenny on my show, not even knowing all these other benefits. So stay tuned. How's it going? This is Brad Williams with Over 40 Fitness Hacks, the podcast where I help you, being over 40, to fight the aging process without giving up your social life. I've been a personal trainer and gym owner for over 14 years, and I specialize in helping the over 40 crowd get to their goals. If you need a little bit of guidance, check out my show notes. I have a link to schedule a free 15-minute Zoom call, and you can ask all the questions you want. But enough of that. Let's get on with the episode. This is part 3 of 3 of an interview I did with Leslie Kenny from Oxford Healthspan. If you'd like to catch up, just go back a couple episodes. So our final topic is the potential to reverse graying hair. I've studied to death having a little bit of receding hairline. And when I was younger, I actually started taking Propecia or finasteride as the generic version to help block the DHT. And It did, but it also, I just learned that it started blocking some facial hair and that kind of stuff, which my wife is like, oh, so you won on all counts. I'm like, oh, I guess, but it would have been nice to grow a mustache. But as graying hair, that's what kind of prompted me to reach out to you, because, you know, I saw that there's things with the hair cycle and the growth cycles of how to keep that pigment. And I know just over time, it's going to happen anyways, but talk more about that. And is it more of slowing down the process or reversing permanently? Or what have you guys seen in your studies?
So let's start with, I've talked a little bit about the hair life cycle. So you have the growth phase, you have the resting phase, the catagen phase, and you have the shedding phase, the telogen phase. And there are a couple of times when your body will naturally start to shed hair because of low spermidine levels. One of those times is going to be if you have just had an infection of some kind. So let's say you've had the virus that shall not be named, and your body is going to say, hey, I'm going to take all of the sperm in the body and use it for a process called autophagy, which means it'll bag up the viruses and it will destroy them in the same way that bags up clutter in your cells. It can do the same thing with viruses. So it will take that. You have no choice in this. It will say survival of the organism is much more important than survival of your hair. Yeah. Right? This is why people lose their hair after an infection. And it doesn't happen immediately. It usually happens, say, 6 weeks to 2 months after that infection is over. The other time that it will happen is when a mother has been breastfeeding. So when the baby is in utero, it relies on the mother for all of this spermidine for fast cell turnover to grow. And then when the baby is born, it's taking all of the spermidine in the form of breast milk to grow. Again, we have no choice in this. Nature's wisdom is survival of the next generation. Yep. That is what it's always thinking about. So it will say, although it's lovely to have a mother with shiny, glossy hair, she doesn't need it. The baby needs it, because all we care about at this point is survival of the next generation. So the mother will then lose that extra spermidine that was basically nourishing her hair and her follicles, and it goes to the baby. Another time, of course, is as we get older. So I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast that we make it naturally in our tissues and our gut biome. Now, as we get older, just like with testosterone, estrogen, any of these hormones, even thyroid hormone, melatonin, our tissues become less efficient at making this. And then if we have been exposed to broad spectrum antibiotics, which many people sadly have been, that our gut biome cannot produce, doesn't have the bacteria or the bacterial colonies anymore to manufacture spermidine in the same quantities that it had when we were young. Before. So then we start to notice receding hairline. We start to notice some graying hair. Hair loss can also be related to low thyroid function. So this is not the only reason, but it is a reason that I think has been overlooked in discussions in the internet or in books. I just haven't really seen it.
And as far as whatever hair loss we have attributed for our age and genetics, taking something like spermidine to reactivate those cycles and possibly reverse some grain and getting those new sprouts going, do those seem to only happen in the areas that still have some action going on it, meaning any bald spots?
No.
Those are dead follicles. They're gone.
So this is a question, and we need more research here. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you our clients have said is that even in individuals who are over the age of 90, who have been completely bald across the top, maybe they just have the old friar's pate along the, yeah. And these individuals say that it's not like they get locks. It's not like that. It's not Fabio from the 90s, but they are getting hair back.
Something.
Yeah, they're getting something back. And it starts, and this isn't wonderful, but it starts, it's more like Tweety Bird stuff, but then it begins to fill in. Now, I think that for individuals who are really wanting to get a full head of hair back, then probably going to a specialist who can do some kind of a transplant would be helpful. But spermidine as an adjunct to that would definitely be helpful because it not only helps with wound healing, again, very fast cell turnover in the skin, but it would help keep those follicles, I think, viable for longer because we're definitely seeing it in older men who have been bald for 50, 60 years in some cases and have had really literally shiny heads on top. So I think that speaks to the promise. Now, of course, that's at the daily dose that we recommend, which is 1 milligram. According to the European Food Safety Authority, you can go up safely with food-derived spermidine to 6 milligrams. So we simply don't know what we don't know, but it would be an interesting thing to look at in terms of a study.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next is what about dosage? And so 1 milligram is what your product is going for. Is there any cons of increasing that? Or you probably can't speak on it until you have more research, but it is a food product. So I imagine a lot of people who like doing a little bit of biohacking could maybe push it a little bit. And as soon as you feel something, back off.
So what we know is that when we look at the longevity blue zones around the world, these populations of healthy centenarians have very high spermidine intake in their diets. They have an overwhelmingly plant-based diet, and in some cases they have meat, but it's usually almost like a condiment. Mm. And so you might have some pork. The Okinawans do like their pork, and they'll have some. Of course, they have fish as well. That amount is around 56 milligrams of spermidine. Now, how much of that is actually absorbed in the gut is another question. We know that ours is in a highly absorbable form. And with Primadine Original, there's actually a prebiotic in there, a prebiotic resistant starch. It will say maltodextrin on there, but don't be fooled. It's actually a resistant starch maltodextrin. So if it's over 70% starch, it's no longer going to spike your blood glucose. It's a fiber, which your body can't digest. And breast milk, for instance, has very high amounts of this. They're both the sugars in breast milk and the prebiotic in Primadine Original are both fructooligosaccharides. They are not there for energy for the body. They are there to feed the bacteria in the gut biome that can make more spermidine for you. But you've got to feed them or they starve and die, right? So yeah, definitely mind the mitochondria there. Because of the fact that it's in a very highly absorbable form in both Primadine GF and Primadine Original, It has an impact. Well, it has an impact. And that's why I think the European Food Safety Authority has said, we know that 6 milligrams of food-derived supplemental spermidine is safe. What happens after that, we still need to learn about. There is a synthetic version of spermidine, but as a woman, as a hypothyroid patient, and I take the food-derived version of thyroid hormone, not the synthetic levothyroxine, I feel much better on it. And as a woman who's on hormone replacement therapy and watched my own mother go through HRT when it was synthetic, I personally prefer the bioidentical version. And so I see a lot of synthetic versions out there that are 10 milligrams, 20 milligrams, even 50 milligrams. We've had clients who say, well, I was on your product, I got great results. And then I saw one that was cheaper. And so I went and I got it and it had more. And it was cheaper. Well, quality over quantity, and you do get what you pay for, caveat emptor. they then come back and they say, I tried this other one. It was 20 milligrams, but actually I got the opposite results. And this was just borne out by a study in Nature Aging in October of this year, where they gave mice synthetic spermidine. When they gave too much, they noticed that instead of helping with the fertility of these animals, they were actually hurting the fertility of these animals. So we don't know what the Goldilocks dose is for synthetic, whereas with food-derived, your body recognizes it. When it has too much, it just excretes it. With spermidine, it's not like vitamin A, which you need fat to take that in and it gets stored in your fat. It's not like that. So it's a lot easier to get rid of.
Well, awesome. That's some great information, Leslie. Thank you for coming on my show. If my audience wants to get a hold of you, where's the best way? You have a website, social media. Where can they try some spermidine tablets?
Sure. Well, if they've got questions on gray hair, I have very old channel on YouTube called Leslie's New Prime. That's L-E-S-L-I-E-S, Leslie's New Prime, because I think I'm in the new prime of life. And I have about 90 videos there on gray hair reversal. Some talk about spermidine, some other things. If you want to try, you want to try Trimidine spermidine, which is the one that we make at Oxford HealthSpan, you can just go to Oxford Health Span, like the span of a bridge, com. It's all one word. And I think you've got a discount code that you can offer to your followers. You can percent off and you can put those in the show notes or at the end of this. And I'm also involved in something called the Oxford Longevity Project, which is looking at these breakthrough sciences around longevity, and in particular autophagy, and bringing scientists and clinicians, doctors together to think about how we can get protocols out to patients and people like us faster, so that it doesn't take the 18 years it currently takes to translate bench science into impact with people like us. So those are the three places. They're all on Instagram as well. We're really active on Instagram. Leslie's New Prime, Oxford HealthSpan, and Oxford Longevity Project.
Awesome. I'm hoping that with the surge of AI and AI products that maybe we can cut that from when we do the research to when we can go to human trials a little bit faster, so we can get on board with some of this stuff a bit quicker. But
absolutely.
Yeah. So as always, my audience knows, I'll put all the things you just mentioned in the show notes so they can just click on it. But Leslie, I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show and enlightening me. I feel so much more comfortable with the spermidine subject and just added to my own arsenal. So I appreciate it.
Super. Thank you very much for inviting me.
For those of you out there that don't know what rebounding is or small trampolining, check out my episode 408, where my guest talks about rebounding to get a little bit more cardio in your weekly routine. I, for one, have always loved high incline walking on treadmills, but after seeing how much space I had left in my garage, it just wasn't going to happen. Since I've been using my rebounder, I've added 10,000 more steps per week on average. It feels amazing on my lower back, which I'm always careful of. So for any of you out there that want something different or have any type of injury, it's a fun and different way to get your cardio in. It's a space saver. Your family can play with it, and you'll get closer to the amount of steps you're trying to get in per week. I highly recommend checking out this rebounder from JumpSport. Check out the link in my show notes. Let's get some high intensity training back in your life and keep that motivation going. If you'd like a little bit of help checking out your diet and your current routine, I'd be happy to help. I always do a free 15-minute Zoom consultation for anyone, no strings attached, just to see if I can help point you in the right direction. So if you're interested, check out the show notes. The link is at the top.